because of feels, it looks like I lied to them. But I didn't lie. So I actually think thought coffee was Nescafe and powder milk, but they were looking for espresso. It was so bad.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra.
Namaste and welcome to Hamro Yatra. Today we have a really interesting guest for you, a latte art champion, a writer, and business owner, Dhan Tamang. Born in a village in Kavre, Dhan Tamang moved to Kathmandu for higher studies and very early on understood the value of hard work and perseverance. His journey took him to Kuwait, where he worked over 14 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. And instead of lamenting about it, you'll find him grateful for this opportunity. Dhan Tamang is incredible at setting goals for himself and reaching them, be it speaking fluently in English, or winning latte art competitions, or writing a book on coffee and latte art. With all my guests, I try to research as much as I can, but even with all my research, Dhan's story had me on the edge and I left the conversation completely inspired. You will hear me wow a lot. In this episode, you will hear Dhan's journey from Nepal to becoming the fourth in the World Latte Art Championship. He is passionate about sharing his knowledge, promoting Nepali coffee, and grinding away. Welcome to Hamro Yatra, Dhan Dai. We're so excited to have you here. You're the first latte art champion that I've ever talked to, so I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Hamro Yatra, and especially for you, Sam. It's nice to be here.
So I usually like starting with some icebreakers. And the first question would be, if you could have any superpower, what would that be?
Wow. Just a 1 year. So I think, as I say earlier, briefly, I love traveling and I love seeing different places, different culture. And so that in that region, probably I could fly just myself. I don't need to book flights and everything. Just fly and could be there. And then I think that is the power I could have, maybe, if I would choose.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So no hassle for flying, booking, book flights and all that thing. So.
And if you could have any dish for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Oh, well, you know, I think this is probably one of the common answer you get,
Are you about to say momos?
No, I like momo as well, but only dish probably...
Dal bhat.
And then I need like something curry, I think that's most important thing. Still, I've been in abroad around 14 years. But I still love, we still cook every day. So you can tell. So I can't live without our Nepalese feed. So I think it's a most important thing.
All right, the last one. If you could go back into any historical moment in Nepal, just to experience and see what it was like, what would you choose?
There's a lot of historical things, like, you know, we study about, we read and study about in school. But I think it's the 90s because that was my childhood. And, one thing I missed in my life is, and I always thankful that I had was my childhood. And I was born and raised in a village, so it was absolutely freedom. That is the thing, you know, I wanted to be that place again. I don't think so. You can get that
not anymore
yeah So
you mentioned a bit of your childhood, and the first question I did want to ask you about was about your childhood. So that was a good segue there. What was your childhood like? You said you were born in a village. I think I read somewhere it was Kavre.
That's right.
I know.
Yes.
Yep. And how were you as a child?
Yes, Kavre. My hometown is in Kavre, which is just outside of Kathmandu, around 70 kilometers.
Around Dulikhel?
Yes,
or?
Dulikhel is in a Kavre.
Yep.
So from Dulikhel, it's around 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
By bus. And
because I actually went to KU for my ISC, so I know Dulikhel, all that area, quite well.
okay, awesome. Near Dulikhel, and it's great. I think it was amazing. But you know, I always, well, as I said, like I probably enjoyed most out of it. So we're in a village. When I was a kid, I still remember we got like a cloth. Once a year in Daseng, you got to wear like new clothes. And just...
New clothes, yep.
Yeah. So I remember that. And when Daseng is near Daseng, we're like really excited about, oh my God, I can get a new cloth and like lots of meat and all that things, you know, rice and this. And that was the moment. I think it's kind of moment. And then another thing is we had to, from my house to school was around 1 hour walk.
Wow.
But it's now, you know, people think now when I say to people, when I share to people in my like, it was like, oh my God, that was must be difficult. It wasn't at all, like nothing. There was nothing at all. And that was actually, it was a good exercise probably. So, you know, honestly, it was amazing. So I thought, you know, I'm always thankful that I had a chance to go to school, even though government school, and that wasn't boarding school, that wasn't nothing full on, you know, but and there was something. So, and I was, and personally, I was very shy. I never talked to anyone until, you know, the SLC in Nepal, SLC, I was very, very shy. And in my village, people call me, I have a nickname. People call me like in Tamang. So I'm my family is Tamang, background is Tamang. Mm. So in our Tamang, I had a nickname, it's called Thai, which is it's like in Nepali, it's a Lata something.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I was really shy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And, but, you know, I was very shy. And, but I always work hard. I always, you know, even when I was young, when I was like, you know, very young age, I always believe in working hard.
Mm-hmm. You said around SLC time, you grew out of that shyness. How did that change happen?
I think what happened is, as I said, I was born and, you know, raised in a village. So, I mean, I moved to Kathmandu around 17 after SLC. And that's where real things happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in a village, we used to just speak Tamang, and not even Nepalese, Nepali. English is far away from, like, you know, you can imagine. It was quite difficult. Move to Kathmandu was different environment or different people, you know. And in that's why. So I thought it was, you have to, in a village, you got a massive house, all that things, you know, freedom, friends, everyone there, yeah, right? And in a Kathmandu, so you got to live in a little room, probably like another few people there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to work, you know, that's why I started working when I was 17. That was my first full-time job.
And was that in Kathmandu?
Yes, that was in a Kathmandu, and I used to go to college in the morning, and then about from 10 o'clock, I used to go to work in Tamil, 10 to 6 every day, 6 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that.
You weren't exaggerating when you said you were hardworking from your early days.
Yeah, so I think it's you know, to me it was nothing really. I wouldn't feel sorry for myself, because I think that it's what I had the opportunity. You know, there's just so many people, they don't even get that opportunity. Mm. And I was actually thankful that I had the job.
And how were you in terms of your schooling? Like, were you creative? Were you more on the academic side?
I was more creative side. Yeah, definitely. 100% sure. Yeah. I was more creative. And then, as I said, like, you know, believe in just working hard, make it work. Doesn't matter how, but just make it work.
Mm. So you moved from Calgary to Kathmandu. You were doing your college. You were working in Tamil. How did you go from there to UK?
Oh, God. And then about, like, while I was working in export-import, that time export-import company, one of the, like, in Tamil. And so that time, when I was 20, I tried to join in a Gurkha.
Mm.
So it was an amazing experience. And then, so after that, I didn't get it. I was really upset. And then, so as a young person in Nepal, you know, you always wanted to do something, but there is not much opportunity in Nepal. Mm-hmm. And to get the opportunity, I think to find the right opportunity, probably you definitely need a reference, good reference, you know, which is probably, I wasn't lucky enough to have that. So I had a chance to go Kuwait. I went to Kuwait.
Okay.
So that time they were, you know, there is a lot of manpower in Nepal. So many manpower.
Yes, I remember. Mm.
So there was one of the guy coming and he said to me, "Oh, there is in Kuwait they're looking for a coffee maker. Actually, it's called barista."
But yeah.
They didn't know even what is a barista. I mean, there's a coffee maker. Oh, there is a coffee maker. The position, if you want to, you can get and all that things. And then I thought, perfect. So I'll try. So I went to Kuwait, my early 20s, and yeah, worked there 2 years.
Have you ever made coffee before then, or did you know like what involved?
Absolutely not. So it was very funny. Actually, it was very. Sometimes it makes me laugh. Actually, so when I was working at the export import company. So I used to make powder milk and Nescafe, you know, I used to put a load of milk in the Nescafe and coffee for everyone, like my boss and my manager. And, you know, I was very like young. And then, so I thought making coffee was that. Okay. So, and so when they're looking for coffee maker, I thought like, wow, I'm perfect. I'm a good coffee maker.
I make coffee every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, that was, the interview was in a Hyatt hotel near Bowdoin.
Mm. So yeah.
That was a coffee maker interview. So I was, I went there, and then the guy was, you know, there was a guy was sat there, and then he was saying, "Oh, hello, Dan. How are you?" Like, "Yeah, good, thank you." They were like straight away, "Oh, so do you know about the coffee?" I said, "Yes." I was 100% confident because I know the coffee. I know how to make coffee. And then he was like, "How? How do you know about the coffee?" I said, "Well, I make every day. So that's pretty much my job. So in our office, we have a coffee maker. So I do make coffee every day and people love it." And that was a kind of confidence. He actually think I'm like good barista.
Oh my God.
So I got a job, by the way, and went to Kuwait.
Did he not ask you to like make the coffee with the whole machine?
There is nothing. There's just this office. Yeah, a little room.
Oh, just like an interview.
Yes, it's an interview. So I got a visa about a few weeks later. Like, you know, very quick. Everything happened really quick. So went to Kuwait, and that's where things gone wrong to me. And I didn't get the job until around 71 days. They didn't give me a job. I still count. That was a disaster, actually. Because it looks like I lied to them.
Mm.
But I didn't lie. So I actually thought coffee was Nescafe and powder milk, but they were looking for espresso. It was so bad. And then I said to them, I'm really sorry. I didn't lie. I thought coffee was Nescafe and powder milk.
Mm.
And when they show me the machines and espresso, latte, cappuccino, not even joking, Shan, you know, that time I don't even know what is a latte cappuccino.
Of course.
And so it was, and I had to, I had to read loads of books about the LATT, latte, cappuccino, all that thing. Oh my God, that was just mad. And just over 2 months, they didn't give me a job. And so I had to study. Yeah, it was crazy. Honestly, that was a disaster.
Mm. Because in Nepal, like when you think about coffee, you either think milk coffee or black coffee.
That's correct.
You don't go to a restaurant and say, I want a latte, no. I want a cappuccino. You say, I want milk coffee or black coffee. That's
it was in 2006. In that time, even there's not much coffee shop.
People don't even drink coffee. You know?
So, yeah, it was difficult, but hey. But yeah, so in 2006, 2007, the work way stopped 6, 7, I was there. And 7, I was I won the award for Employee of the Year or something.
And, wow, you turned it around.
Yeah, so honestly, I was working. It was crazy. You know, 14 hours a day, you work pretty much 6 to 7 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how it works. So I'm sure we got lots of our Nepalese brothers and sisters who they work in Kuwait, Dubai, I don't know, everywhere. Apart from a few luckiest ones. And I'm sure they're still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they work like around at least a 12 to 14 hours shift a day. Mm. And I don't think so. They normally have a day off sometime. So normally at least 6 days a week they work straight.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what I did. But you know, the good thing is I used to work in the American base camp, you know, the army camp.
Mm.
And that's where I find way too comfortable, you know, comfortable to work with them. And it was amazing, actually. So worked there 2 years and then back to Nepal, went back to Nepal and then again. So, oh God, what I do? And then, so I thought, yeah, making coffee again. So working in the coffee shops. And then, so got a really good chance to, you know, opportunity to train other baristas around 2008-09.
Wow, in Nepal itself.
Yeah, so, and then, so 2010, and moved to UK. I got married in 2009. And then 2010, I thought, oh, what can I do? As a barista trainer, there's no future again. So it's just, you know, you're earning probably, I wouldn't say that, I would earn a very, very small.
Mm.
Yeah, so my wife and I, we decided to move to UK, so for her study, further study. And so yes, 2010, I'm here. Yeah.
Wow, what a journey. And then that's just the beginning as
that's
well.
That's correct. 2010 was just the beginning. Yes. And still, it's just crazy. Yeah, 2010, we used to live in London for 2 years, actually.
Mm.
About 1.5-2 years, yeah, and work in London, and then moved to Winchester around 2012. You know,
when you were working in London, were you still working as a barista? Or
yeah, I was very stubborn. That like, you know, when I came to UK, there was uncle, you know, the one of the French uncle. He said to me, "Dan, you need to work. You need to apply a job anywhere. Like, doesn't matter what. Maybe McDonald's, KFC. I don't know. Like, just work." You are lucky if you are lucky if you get it, just like, you know, you'll be lucky just if you just get the job.
Mm.
I said like, no, I will work in a coffee. And that was me. Honestly, it was crazy. So, but I got a job in the coffee shops. So since that, still in a coffee, you know, 2000 and moved to Winchester again for the job, better opportunity, I would say. And, that's where we are now. Yeah,
wow. And so you've moved from Kavri to Kathmandu to Kuwait back to Nepal and London. I would assume there would be some transitional challenges because they're all so different.
Oh
right?
My God, yes.
Having moved to UK, and like, were there any transitional challenges for you at that stage?
So many challenges, Sam. I think it's way too many.
Mm.
First thing is when I moved to UK in 2010, the first problem I had was language.
Yeah.
And I was almost like completely zero. The English was absolutely zero. And that was the biggest, one of the biggest challenges to me. I was like, wow, so what can I do here? Apart from making coffee, I don't know how to talk with the customer. it was mad, actually. I still remember, like, you know, when you, like, at the beginning, you need to call, like, and national insurance and so all that things. Mm-hmm. And that was not, it wasn't possible for me. So I had a help from the, you know, the friends and family. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very tough one. And then my first, my goal was, okay, you know, I used to get a surprise when people talk, when especially Nepalese people speak English really friendly. I was like, wow, how? So I want to be like that. And so I always, and then so I thought I made it a goal for myself, like one day I want to speak English like a Nepalese. And that was my goal. And then I Googled it, YouTubes and all that things. And since then I thought, like, okay, from now on I'm gonna watch movie just English with subtitles. No more like Hindi's and nothing, not Nepalese, nothing. I want to improve. Like every day, even I used to travel when I was in London, I used to travel by bus. And I used to actually read the book every single day.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, reading and listening is one of the key, you know, to improve your English language. So I thought that was the one thing. So, it was good. I feel much better. So, you know, I think it's, I'm still learning. I'm still trying to, you know, improve every day. So, yeah.
That's amazing to hear, like, your dedication and, like, your drive. It's. Yeah.
It was great, honestly. It was a so, and language, and then obviously work. You know, say when you start working in London, it's lots of challenges. Like, you know, in a coffee, if you are into coffee, so there is a loads of people who is champion. You know, being a, like a previous, like they are the already champion. So when you go and talk to them, they are like, oh, so they don't even care, so kind of thing. Yeah. And if you want to learn more, like a skill, costs loads of money. So, like, you know, those are actually, it's a very expensive to learn barista course, actually. Still also. And I thought, okay, so I want to win the competition. Maybe I want to be celebrity like these guys. And speak regular English. That was my, yeah, that was a kind of like, I was always thinking, like, you know, and it was quite difficult, you know.
Yeah, of course. Now, you started making coffee properly since you went to Kuwait, especially when you came to London, you still wanted to be in the coffee industry.
Yeah.
How did you get into the world of latte art?
Oh my God. Basically, you know, when I work in a cafe, coffee shop, for example, when you go to a coffee shop, you are ordered for, like, let's say, latte, a cappuccino, yeah? When you get a cappuccino with a beautiful, nice heart or little, like,
Pattern,
yeah, like, you know, honestly, yeah, you love it, right? You're like, oh my God, this is amazing, or something like, you know, take your phone and quick take photos and, I don't know, something. And to me, that was one of the beautiful moments. And every single customer, when I make coffee, honestly, every single customer, they're always like, wow, Dan makes best coffee, or Dan is the best barista, all that things. And that is one of the biggest motivation for me, the customer, their feedback. And so I thought, okay, so I made a plan myself. I made a goal myself. I'm going to compete competition. So that was 2013. So I compete first ever competition, the official barista championship, and then latte art, two competition I compete. And so actually when I compete the barista championship, it's all about the coffee, the recipes and beans and all that things. And that coffee was actually from Nuwakot that time. Yeah, so
wow.
So Nepalese coffee. You know, I wanted to promote Nepalese coffee that time. So, and then there was a two different competition. Barista Championship, I used Nepalese coffee and represent Nepal, Nepalese coffee. And I didn't win that competition. And same next following month, so I was about to compete another Latte Art Championship, so which actually I won and
kept winning.
Oh my God, it was that title changed everything, changed my whole life actually. What people see me as a dancer man, and I think that title changed everything. And that title was, it was unbelievable. It was in London Coffee Festival. It's one of the biggest coffee festival in the world. Before competition, nobody knows who is this guy. Little guy, probably I was only the probably Nepalese person there, competing competition. I wasn't expecting to win, by the way. So because I did work hard, of course, in my way. So when I compete competition, when I was on the stage, you have around 8 minutes, 8-10 minutes, presentation. And honestly, I was absolutely fearless. I was it was everything. My routine was gone absolutely flawless, like bang. And so many people like, who is this guy? And there was a few people come to me, I think you're going to win today. I was like, no, I'm not going to win. Because I wasn't dreamed that big. So that was way too much to me. So, you know, when there was a result, they start from the third, second, and then champion was there. When they announced my name, honestly, that's it. I think I couldn't control. I was like, what's going on here? And suddenly things different. You know, people come to you, next to you, like take a photo or a selfie. It's just like, what is this?
Just in a matter of seconds.
It's crazy. And then suddenly change in the following months and change my job title as well. You know, at work, I was just a barista. They actually offered me as a GM, you know. It was everything changed. Yeah. I was like, what? So, yeah, you know, and then since that, I won 6 years in a row, probably one of the record, I think.
That's so amazing. Like, I was researching into, like, everything, and I read it 6 times. Like, wow, like, to go from, like, just one and then winning every year after that for 6 years continuous, it's incredible.
It was, you know, I think there's a lot of challenges. So I missed a few championship, a world final, because of my visa.
Oh, okay. So you couldn't attend the world competition or?
Yeah. So, you know, as a Nepalese, I'm still holding Nepalese passport. So to get the visa from other countries, you need to apply and there's certain things you need to like meet. So it was quite difficult to me. So, you know, and every year there is a world final, it's always different countries, sometimes Melbourne's and like Brazil and all that places. Yeah. So yeah, I missed a few. And then that is the reason also I kept competing. it was mad, but it was a good actually, you know, I every year you got to be creative, you got to be different. Think different and about the competition and there is a one you know, to win the competition you got to be like, okay, so what is actually you giving to coffee industry? So what is the new you have for the coffee industry? So kind of thing you need, and it's not just like a nice pretty pattern and you're gonna win. It's a 10 minutes solid presentation that will actually prove you are the good barista, or that will prove that you have a 10 years or 12 years experience, coffee experience you put into 10 minutes. It's just crazy.
Now, when did you know that this was going to be a career that could really help you sustain yourself, your family as well?
I think always since Kuwait.
Okay.
Since Kuwait, yeah, I always believe one day this coffee, this barista job or barista career will make. This is that was since Kuwait. I think I always knew it. I think this is it. This is I got what I want. So I just need to grind, keep grinding.
Literally.
Yeah.
And in 2017, you also released a book on coffee, like latte art as well. What was the process behind that?
Yeah, I did release the book. Now we have 6 different languages. So, you know, the goal was I wanted to share my skill and knowledge, my experience to others. And there are so many baristas like me, yeah? There's so many baristas like me trying to find out what they want and trying to find their the way to get, like, you know, get through. And so I always believe, like, you know, in my early days, I did struggle, but I was very lucky enough to be in the UK, London, right? And there is a struggle phase, of course. You work 6 days a week, whatever, I don't know, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever. But you're in London, you're in one of the best country in the world. You got so many opportunities everywhere. If you work, you got like work everywhere. Like, you know, you got a job everywhere if you want to. So I was very lucky enough. And there is so many people, you know, even they want it, even their hard work, they work harder than I do. Probably they don't have that opportunity to learn from the best. And I always wanted to do something, you know, when I compete, I will be champion one day, and I want to share my knowledge to everyone. And so I try to attend so many coffee events and do lots of workshops. I do so many workshops every year, probably. I don't know how many workshops I do.
And is that workshop from like the coffee lab as well?
Coffee lab, and then the events, you know, the work from the coffee event. And then so book, I thought one of the idea was, you know, publish book. I think that will make even better. Like that will be even better for better way to
reach a wider audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, so I thought I can do that. And then other thing also, you know, in our Nepalese culture, to publish the book, you got to have a PhD degree, like, you know, right? And I thought, I can do without this. So I thought, like, I think I can do without this. Let me try. And then, so it took me a long time. It took me good time research about the, you know, I did research a lot about the how can I write the book. Even honestly, from day one, I don't even know how to write the book. I can't even imagine how to do this thing. But it's all about the, you know, there's the internet. So I think it's the biggest thing. So you can find it, whatever you like. So it was, it took me around a year, finally put everything together. And then I had a really good opportunity to work with the Octopus publication. So they are one of the very successful publisher. And so far we're selling that book. I think it's a lot, actually. More than 50,000 copies, something.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like yesterday I was looking at it. It's like, I think I saw like in Chinese. I'm like, wow, that's so impressive.
Yeah, it's you know, I think it was my first book, but I'm working on second book as well, second edition. So I want to keep doing it, you know. I want to keep update to the people. See.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when did Coffee Lab happen?
2016. 2016.
Oh, you've been so busy. Competing in all these competitions, getting a book out, getting a coffee school, like nothing's stopping you.
Yeah, very busy. Yes, it is. I think it's, to me, it's and then again, it's a part of my life, part of my job. It doesn't stress me out. Honestly, I'm a barista. I work in a coffee industry. I should write the coffee book. And I got a coffee book. That's not a surprise. I think that I should have. And I compete the competition. It's coffee competition. So, yeah, it's okay. So I think I won the competition coffee. And then I got a coffee shop, which is, I'm in a coffee. So same. It's a connect everything, all of them together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Connected together. So I think it was, so, and then coffee shop was 2016, March, actually, we opened. So I thought it was my dream since I was in Nepal, and I always wanted to do the business. Honestly, that was my mind. I wanted to do business every, I don't know how. And that's why when I was in London, I used to live in Hounslow West.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know, you know, and I used to sell, there is a Momo. I'm a good moneymaker as well. That was my first business, actually. So it's a near train station. So I used to sell momos, and honestly, hundreds of plates a day.
Wow.
Yeah. It was in 2011, early 2011. And so that was where I started the business. But, you know, I was successful. I was making money, but it wasn't my future. I knew it. Mm. And I left it. And then so moved to Winchester, did the coffee. So the coffee shops is... It was, there is a point, you know, I, 2016, I was number four in the world, World Latte Championship. It was in Shanghai. And then I thought, oh, okay, I guess this is the time to open coffee shops. So open coffee shops as a Coffee Lab UK. And that was, that was amazing, actually. I did paint it myself, cleaned everything.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, how does it feel when, like, you find out that you're number four in the world, like, not just in Nepal, not just in, like, a small continent in Europe, or it's in the world? Like, that is, like, out of this world, like, you know, when you think about it, from a person, like, who used to make Nescafe and powder milk to, like, being fourth in the world, like...
It was amazing. Honestly, it was a great, you know, I think it, I wasn't... thinking a lot. I think it was a part of my life and process. It was a process, you know, kind of competition is, I do believe in a competition. Competition is a huge thing. Title is a huge thing. But I always tell everybody, titles doesn't make you a different person. End of the day, it's just you, you know, like, and then I was upset that I didn't win the world. I was that close. So I was hoping I'm going to win. Day one, I'm going to win the world this year. Like, that was my year. I always felt that. And didn't win. When they announced number four, I was only the finalist. Very upset. But it was amazing. Honestly, it was, it was something I'm always proud. I always remember the day.
Now, in your own coffee shop, do you still work as a barista, or do you work as managing everyone or the admin side? Because as the owner as well, you would have different duties to do, right? How do you manage your coffee shop at the time?
I work in a coffee shop as a barista. Put an apron on. So, well, what I believe is, as a managing director, you don't have to be in the, like, you know, nice... the office and nice chairs. No, you don't have to. I think this is the industry that is a people's business, you know.
Yeah.
And then you got to be, and then that's my job, is basically behind the bar, like, you know, behind the coffee machine. That is to make it people, like, people's day, actually making nice coffee, pretty coffee, hi, hello, I don't know, so something. So I try to work in a coffee shop at least 4 or 5 days a week. I try to be in a coffee shops. So we got a few shops, and that's why, so I'm not in a specific shops. I just normally move around everywhere.
Right.
But we got a good team, other team. We have other few people. So they have they're working behind the scenes, you know, like back office, like account, finance and operation side.
Yep.
They do their job, and I do my own other job.
And while you were trying to pursue this field, how has the support from your family been? Have they been able to understand your passion about coffee and why you just wanted to stick with coffee?
So one of the biggest support I got in my coffee journey is my wife. And she supported, she's with me always since day one. Even when I wasn't even champion. And then we work together as well. We're still working together, Sam, believe it or not.
Oh my God, I want to ask you that about that later.
So it's ridiculous, right? So, you know, and that is one of the biggest support, you know. And then for my family, my mother, my mom, dad, or my sisters, they haven't seen me making coffee. So that is I have a dream to make coffee for them, for my mom, dad, One day I would love to make coffee for them. That day will come one day, I'm sure. They just know that I'm a barista. I know I'm making coffee. They just knew that.
Yeah.
And I don't think so they even know what is the value of making coffee or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Sometimes my mom often asks me, like, normally she called me like, oh, how are you? We still talking, speaking Tamil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so what are you doing? I said like, oh, I'm doing washing up. It's like, what? My mom was like, why are you doing washing up? I thought you are the boss. But I said to my mom, like, no, in England, a boss is, we don't wear suits, we don't wear shirts. So it's okay, you got to do everything. So I would love to show her one day, you know.
Yeah.
The reality.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And even during your first competition, you were using coffee from Nepal. And when I was looking through like the Coffee Lab website, I saw there was coffee from Lamjung as well.
Palpa.
Yeah, and that was quite amazing. Like, I actually didn't know you could, like, there was coffee from Nepal.
Yes, there is. So this is, we have not just a coffee shop. I have a roastery as well, coffee roastery.
Mm.
We roast coffee. We source loads of different coffees from around the world. And then roast. So it's called DT Coffee Roastery, which is my name, Dan Tamang.
Yeah. I was like, oh, DT. I just looked at him like later on, I realized, oh, okay, got it.
So, you know, another thing was like, I wanted to promote Nepalese coffee in the European market, this market, you know.
Mm.
I think it's the most important thing. And so I'm trying to, you know, I got a few Nepalese coffee, Lamjung and Palpas, and selling in the UK market. And and I have a few plans as well to represent Nepalese coffee again in the UK competition.
Yeah.
So hopefully in 2021. So, yeah.
Is there a positive acceptance for, like, the coffees from Nepal?
Yes. A lot of people. You know, we have a story.
Mm.
Our coffee has a story. Our coffee is a quality as well.
Yeah.
You know, these days in a market, what market looking for is a story as well, not just a quality of product. My dream is I wanted to sell even more Nepalese coffee in the UK market.
Yeah. So my family is from Lamjung.
Oh, wow.
So when I saw that, I was like, this is, I need to get this.
Definitely, yes. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
So with everything that you've gone through, Dandai, like, you know, going from all these different places, your own journey, all the transitional challenges, what does success mean to you?
Number one, I haven't even get it. I'm still looking for it. I guess it's a success is being able to comfortable yourself. I think it's in many ways, economic, in financial ease and mental ease and everything.
Mm.
And I think to me, it's probably share my knowledge to people and help others, help you know, other baristas or other different sectors, you know, people. I think that is probably the success. And if I one day, when I'm able to do it, I think that would be my success.
What drives you to keep moving forward and keep achieving those goals that everyone thinks is impossible or incredible? How do you keep going with all these different passions of yours?
I think it's my my childhood and where I'm come from. I think that is the biggest motivation for me.
Mm.
So, you know, when I was young, like when I was a kid, when I was in a village, so we don't have the power, you know, like electricity, we don't have the car or bus, there's no road, you know, and there's many things like we didn't have that opportunity. To me, I always say that I'm always thankful what I have right now. And because of, you know, I'm not in that place, you know, and you got to be thankful. And then that is the main reason also, you when you are thankful what you have in front of you, then you're never going to be sad, right? And you always keep moving.
Yeah.
And that is probably one of the reason also, you know, I wanted to keep working hard. And people see, oh, you succeed, you do this, you have a coffee shop, so many coffee shops. Oh, you have a roastery, you have this and that. And to me, it doesn't. Mm. It's a part of my life. I think part of my journey. There is a much more to do, I think, than that.
Yeah.
And I am not actually like, you know, celebrating with this kind of thing. So I think that's yeah. So we must keep moving. We must do even more, and there is much more to learn, much more to do, I think.
Mm. I love the mindset that you have. Like, I think hardworking should be like your middle name. Like the drive that you go with everything that you want to achieve, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
Now that I, just to wrap things up as well, if there was any advice you could give to someone who is far away from home and are struggling to find their path, what would that be?
I think to me, the most important thing is always stay positive and be happy what you have and be thankful what you are and what you got. And hard work is the one of the thing you always remember, like, you know. And I've seen many people, especially in 2009, 10, 11, that during that time, there were so many students in the UK. And there's so many students, they didn't survive in the UK. Trust me. They had to go back to Nepal because of visa reason. There's so many different reasons. And when I say to sometimes, you know, like, for example, when I meet people these days, sometimes, like these days, especially now, when I meet someone, oh, what do you do? Like, how did, yeah, so I was in a student visas. And what? How come you're a student visa and then you've done so much this? I said, like, visa is not the issue. That is a piece of paper. You know what I mean? The passport, visa is just a piece of paper. It's not about you. It's end of the day. You got to wake up early in the morning and then go to work and then, you know, and
yeah,
that's how you do. You know, you work for yourself and then you will find it. And so this is a things like a lot of people think the documentation is a bigger than what you are, and then you always don't think about that, you know. And lots of students, they say, oh, I can work just only 20 hours a week or something. But trust me, if you give up 100%, that 20 hours is more than enough, you know what I mean? So there is so many people don't do it, like always excuses. So please don't, there's no excuses. You just got to be positive and work hard. I think that is things will come to you. Good things will come to you.
So no excuses, and where there is a will, there is a way.
Absolutely, yeah. It's 100% sure. 100%, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for your time today, Dhandai. Like, it was absolutely amazing to, like, just chat with you about your journey. I am so inspired right now. Like, I'm just, I get so much joy from doing this as well, because I think when you talk to such inspiring individuals, you get that vibe from them. And like, I am buzzing right now. Like, I just want to go do something, like.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. You know, I think it's, and this is I keep saying Hamro Yatra pace.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, it's all my pleasure.
Yeah,
we do.
As always, if you enjoy these conversations, please share with your friends and family. The screenshots you've been sharing with key insights on the episodes and tagging us at hamro.yatra on Instagram truly make my day. So thank you, and keep them coming.